What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Associated Press, within these last hours, Iran suspects suicide bombers launched attack killing 84 as purported Islamic State claims circulate. Also, The Guardian, hours ago, Middle East crisis live. U.S. says it believes Islamic State's claim of responsibility for a deadly Iran attack. Earlier in the reporting cycle, the Wall Street Journal, Islamic State claims responsibility for a deadly bomb attack at Soleimani Memorial. I welcome Benham Bentaleblou of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Iran is at the center of this story and several more that we will touch upon. Islamic State of Iran is the driver for the bad acting throughout this region. Always check with Iran before you look for another driver. A very good evening to you, Benham. ISIS shows up in Iran. I don't have a history tracking ISIS in Iran. There is reason to believe they're ideologically opposed, but as we've seen through these last decades, the best of enemies can become the best of friends in a certain operation. That would explain Al-Qaeda taking refuge in Iran for many years, despite the ideological differences. Is ISIS part of the story of Iran, or is this new? Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, and pleasure to be with you. In essence, this is not the first ISIS domestic terror attack in Iran against regime-affiliated ceremony symbols and targets, and in my view, it certainly won't be the last. 2017 comes to mind, attempted bombing of Khomeini, the founding father of the Islamic Revolution's mausoleum, plus later on an attempted bombing of an Iran-Iraq war military parade. This, of course, was the suicide bombing. I think there were two individual suicide bombers, if I'm not mistaken, killed over 90 people, almost all of them civilian bystanders in Soleimani's hometown, which the event was there commemorating the fourth anniversary of his death due to a U.S. drone strike in Iraq in January 2020. But to go back to the ISIS-Iran relationship, you know, obviously, Iran benefited from the rise of ISIS in a certain way in Iraq and Syria, because that is what allowed it to kind of create and co-opt all these different militia and terror groups that it now controls as part of the axis of resistance in Iraq and Syria to give it major influence there. And Iran, which used to almost go to war with the Taliban in the 90s, made peace with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in the early 2000s because they were fighting America there. And then with the rise of ISIS Khorasan branch, Iran's relationship with Taliban deepened. And with the U.S. leaving Afghanistan in 2021, more enmity arose between Iran and the Taliban due to the increased activities of ISIS Khorasan, as well as, you know, more cross-border stuff and the Taliban taking the helm of the government in Afghanistan. But in essence, there's the ideational grudge, there's the political grudge, and I'm inclined to believe those Associated Press reports that are citing online social media claims about this attack being ISIS.
How does this benefit ISIS? What do they get from it?
Well, I'm certainly more of a observer of the Sunni side of the terrorism street than the Shiite side. I'm more of an observer of the Shiite side of the terrorism street than the Sunni side. But this is ISIS continuing to act against the regime that has fought against it. You know, they consider all Shiites to be, you know, perverse non-Muslim believers. You've seen what ISIS did to ethnic and sectarian minority populations in Iraq and Syria. They consider, Iranian 12er Shiites, and in particular, the Islamic Republic, to be of the same kind, basically that they would put them subject to death. But in general, this is just a jihadist group being a jihadist group. What is newer is the scale and scope of it against another country, Iran, which has had less of a history of terror attacks domestically of this scale and on this scope. It doesn't mean there hasn't been any ethno-sectarian insurgencies. One looks to the southeast where the Baluch are. One looks to the east and northeast where the Kurds are. These have been areas Tehran has over-militarized using the IRGC. The IRGC is the instrument of that repression. So it's no surprise to me that historically there have been center-periphery issues, both due to the nature of the government of Tehran and due to the hammer that Tehran has thrown down on them. But this is, in my view, if it looks like Sunni jihadism, if it smells like Sunni jihadism, it is Sunni jihadism.
At the same time, these events are tumbling upon us. We're still living with the tragedy. We haven't recovered from the tragedy of 10/7. We have this event in Beirut within these last hours, the targeted killing of Arouri, Hamas senior figure, liaison between Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, I'm told, in his many years of depredation of the region. But in any event, it came within hours of the attack in Iran. These are separate coincidental events, no connection whatsoever to your knowledge?
These, in my view, do appear quite separate, yes. I mean, there were some people who tried to infer Israeli involvement in the Iran terror attack that killed upwards of 90 civilians. I think that tells you a lot more about the analyst and their biases and their views. You know, again, if it smells like Sunni jihadism, if it sounds like Sunni jihadism, it is Sunni jihadism. It was just more of a question of what flavor of Sunni jihadism inside Iran against the regime. The attack on Arouri, the one that killed Arouri earlier in Beirut, and lest we forget, Arouri played this very important connective tissue role between Hezbollah and Hamas and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. We also know Beirut is home to that fusion cell, that planning cell for the axis of resistance in the Levant, which coordinated many of the terror and militia activities of all of those groups there, literally against Israel. So one could say that Arouri was a marked man. And in general, I would also keep an eye on his hometown. I believe it's Ramallah in the West Bank. There were protests that erupted there immediately after Arouri's killing. The response to the killing of Arouri may come again from the West Bank in the form of more uproar and perhaps even a terror attack. So it could be the activation of that front amid a war which already looks like it has projectiles and unguided munitions and whatnot. But an older school terror attack may not be off the cards for the supporters of Arouri and their patron back in Tehran.
We go to Iraq, and within these hours, this is FT reporting in these last hours, Baghdad airstrike kills commander of Iran-backed militia. Subhead, Iraq blames U.S.-led international coalition for attack on faction's logistical HQ. I'm writing these down. I'm getting a pattern here. The attack in Iran on the day we're celebrating Soleimani, a mass murderer of the first rank, then an attack in Beirut, in the protected part of Beirut, says Hezbollah, against an operative who links to Iran, and now an attack in Baghdad against an Iran-backed militia leader and the HQ. This is beginning to look like a message and a blow after blow to the Ayatollah. Does he have a response?
There is a famous billboard. I remember it's in Valley Asr Street, where there's a big square. And the first time actually Iran was hit with an ISIS terror attack, there was a hand of a Revolutionary Guard official, where every finger was launching missiles. And it wrote in Persian on that big billboard, Man ne yahman Iran hastam, or I am Iran's guardian. It was essentially saying that the IRGC was going to respond. Much more recently, of course, that same location, Valley Asr, And that big billboard square there had a big red backdrop, and it said "Pasoch Esach Be'Idn Allah," or it translates to in Persian, "a hard answer," which is a play on 4 years ago what Tehran had promised. Interestingly, in response to these domestic attacks, Tehran has felt more comfortable using ballistic missiles in military operations publicly from its own territory rather than proliferating them to a proxy or using a terror cutout. So I wouldn't be surprised if the regime does resort to an overt use of force to try to stop this kind of military pressure against it. But I would respectfully caution you with overconnecting some of these dots, even though you and I throughout 2023 have helped the audience connect the dots when the Biden administration has been actively disconnecting them. And the reason I would say that is I think the Aruri attack is more of Israel's kinetic pushback on Iran, as likely is the killing of the Iran's IRGC official in Damascus, Sayed Razi. What I see in Iran is just more of the kind of the ISIS-Iran enmity relationship kind of existing in its own vacuum, and the Sunni terror groups looking to strike at Iran at a time of opportunity. And then, of course, the U.S. response in Iraq, that's most interesting because if you ask me, the Biden administration has not yet shifted its policy, but that is the most significant strike against a militia leader in Iraq since the U.S. under the previous administration killed Soleimani. So it's the most risk-tolerant thing Biden has done in Iraq to date. So make no mistake, the militia networks likely will respond to this. But it is an attempt to signal more than the apparent willingness we've already seen from the administration, which is to just do a few pinprick strikes and hope that reestablishes deterrence. So these are all different burners on the same stove. I wouldn't want to say that there's one gigantic burner on one stove. These are all different burners, but on the same stove.
We're going to explore two more of those burners when we come back. Benham Bentaleb Lewis, Senior Fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Awake? Debatable. Hungry? Absolutely. Your morning routine consisted of scrambling to find your phone, wallet, and keys, and you're already out the door. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores, see app for...
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.